children haven't been singing very long. Many adults have been singing two or three times as many years as some of these children have. And we're a lot more accomplished, maybe, in our eyes, but in the eyes of God, we still aren't very impressive because He's God and we're not. But the fact that we can please God with what we do is an amazing thing. And I was thinking about the people in the Bible that are associated closely with the Christmas story, and they please God as well. And it's just as amazing to think that we could please God with our singing, with our playing, and they, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, these are the people that first come to mind when we think of the Christmas story in Scripture. They please God as well. And there are some traits that those people have that each of us may have as well. And if we do have them, we can please the Lord. As I mentioned, we find a few privileged characters in this Bible story, this Bible account of when Christ came to be born. We find Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was privileged to be the only virgin to birth a child. Joseph was Mary's espoused husband. He was privileged to help raise the only begotten Son of God. The shepherds, they were privileged to be the first visitors for the baby Jesus and recipients of the heavenly birth announcement from the angels. The wise men, they were privileged to be recorded in Scripture as those who gave rich gifts to the young king. Why was Mary chosen? You think about all the women in the world at that time, all of the Jewish women in Israel at that time, all of the women who have ever been born, ever lived, why was she the one chosen? What made her special? How did Joseph end up being the man used by God to raise Jesus? Why did God tell the angels to choose those shepherds? Why not some other shepherds? Why were those wise men the ones that came and visited the young Christ and presented their gifts? What made them special? How did these people end up being the privileged ones? Well, the Bible doesn't answer these questions for us specifically. The Bible doesn't say, this is why Mary was chosen. But as we consider what the Bible does say about those people, we see some important traits that they all had, some common traits, some things that they all shared that I think if they weren't true, would have resulted in those people not being chosen by the Lord, would have resulted in God choosing others for His purposes. God used these people in great ways, and by seeing their lives, we can learn how to be used by God. And that's what I want us to consider tonight, how to be used by God. Because if we're thinking straight, if we're thinking right, we would say, yes, I desire that God would choose me to use in His plan, to bring glory to His name. There's only one Mary. But if you're a woman, you can be used by God in a great way, like Mary was used in a great way. If you're a man, you can be used in a great way and chosen like Joseph was chosen, or these shepherds, or wise men. And so I want us to consider what the Bible says about these folks. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us, the fact that You condescend to use us in Your plan. We're sinners, we're flawed, we're frail, and yet we are privileged to be used by God. Help us to learn from these Bible characters. Help us to conform our lives so that we may also be used by You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First, let's consider Mary. What kind of a woman was Mary? Well, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33, and you can follow along in your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, that's all right. I'll read the verses for you. But in Luke 1, 26, we read this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And just reading these verses, we might think that Mary just kind of lucked out by being chosen by God. But read her response when she heard this life-changing message from Gabriel. She says in verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary was humble and submissive. This was shocking news. And she just said, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be so the way you've spoken." She was God's servant to serve however he saw fit. She dealt with a lot of criticism and bad talking about her later in life, because what virgin gives birth? We all know what that means. And she was accused of immorality. She dealt with a lot of that, but she submitted to this because it was God's plan for her. How did she become this way? How did she become this kind of person? Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary is praising the Lord, and this is called her Magnificat. In this passage of Scripture, she's just voicing her heart, praising the Lord, and she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Listen to her words. She says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Some people believe that Mary was sinless. That's what is behind the idea of the Immaculate Conception. But she says, "God is my Savior." She needed a Savior too. Mary needed a Savior, and it was true of her. God was her Savior. This is part of the reason that God chose her to be privileged in this way, because he was her Savior. Mary was humble. She said, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid." Who am I? I'm not anything special. She was humble. She feared God and she praised him. She said, "Holy is his name. He is mighty. His mercy is on them that fear him." She believed what the scriptures said. And she just lifted up the Lord and praised him. She believed what God said. That's an important trait. She just believed what the Bible said. What kind of person does God choose to use? Well, Mary's example shows us that he uses those who have been saved, those who have become a child of God. Have you been saved? And that would be the question that you need to answer for yourself. Have you been saved? Is God your Savior? Specifically, Jesus Christ, is he your Savior? Has he forgiven your sins? Has his shed blood covered and pardoned your sins? God wants to use his children, and it's the first step in serving the Lord with your life. God uses those who fear him, who glorify him, those who are humble and submissive to his will, and those that believe his word. Is that the kind of person you are tonight? Let's consider Joseph for a moment. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." God didn't entrust the raising of Christ to whoever happened to be Mary's husband. "We're going to choose Mary, and whoever she marries, that's fine, that man will be fine." That wasn't God's plan. That's not how God works. God chose Joseph for a very specific purpose. What made Joseph part of this privileged man? Well, we can learn some things about his life. We see in verse 19 that he was a just man. It means a man who followed God's law, a man who knew God's law. He was a careful proponent and subject of God's laws. He followed what the scriptures said. He knew God's law and he followed it. He was loving and merciful. He loved Mary. He didn't want to make a public example of her. When she was found as a child, he assumed what would be natural, that she had been unfaithful, that she had been impure. And the law of the Jews permitted him to make her a public example, to put her away. And it was a shameful thing for a woman to be found that way. But he didn't want to shame her. He cared for her. He had a heart. He wanted to show mercy to her. But he couldn't escape the appearance that she had been in sin. He trusted God's word, no matter how surprising it was. When an angel appeared to him and said, "She has been pure. She is a virgin. She is with child by the Holy Ghost," he believed it. That's what God said. "I'm going to believe it." He didn't scoff at that. "Really? My Mary? My espoused wife? She is having a baby because of the Holy Ghost?" Yeah, right. He wasn't skeptical. Many people are skeptical about the Word of God. They see or hear what the Bible says and they say, "Really? You can't expect me to believe that." But that wasn't Joseph's attitude. And he submitted his desires to God's will. It says he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. They were married, and he held himself back from her so that she could give birth. He submitted all of him to the Lord, all of himself. Why did God choose Joseph? Well, we see he was godly. He was an unselfish, believing, loving, and merciful man who just believed what God said. That's the kind of person that God chooses to use. Let's consider the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." What's commendable about these shepherds? Well, we see that they were busy and faithful in their responsibilities. That's how the angel found them, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were busy. They had applied themselves. They were fulfilling their responsibilities. We read that they believed God. The angel said, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in a manger, and you're going to find him. That's the sign. They just believed what God said. And we know that because they said, "Let us now go and see this thing." They trusted. They said, "We know it's happened. We don't have to see the sign to know that it's true. Let us now go and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." We know it's true. We just haven't seen it yet. There's faith. That's what faith is. They believed what God had told them. And they told others of God's goodness and work in their lives. It says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When God moves into your life and he changes you, he saves you, he gives you a new nature, and he gives you purpose, you can't keep that quiet. It has to come out. You have to tell somebody about it. So often in our world, religion can become a source of argument. And so people don't want to talk about it. But if God lives in your heart, if the Holy Spirit indwells your life, you can't keep from talking about it. It gives you purpose. It gives you joy. It doesn't mean you shove it down somebody's throat and you can't make anyone be saved. It doesn't mean that you're offensive about it. But you have to tell people. You have to share with them the joy that it is to know Christ, to have your sins forgiven. These shepherds told others of God's work in their lives, and they gave glory and praise to God. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen. That's the kind of person that God uses. These humble, lowly shepherds who believed God's word, put their faith into action, told others of God's goodness, and praised Him for it. That's the kind of person that God uses. Let's consider the wise men for a moment. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Skip down to verse 8 and we read, and he, talking about Herod, sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And these wise men disappeared into history. We're not told in Scripture anything more about them. But what are some things about this? Well, we see that they believe God's word. It says, they asked King Herod, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. How did they know that? How did they know that he was King of the Jews? Well, I think that they must have had some writings, some scriptural parchments perhaps of scripture that told them what this star meant. Maybe an angel appeared to them. Regardless, they had come to see the King of the Jews. They believed that he was there. They believed that they would find him. And they were coming to worship him. They were humble and they feared God. They didn't say, oh, King of the Jews, that's interesting. We'll sit back and see what happens on the national, the world stage, politically. We'll see how this king comes to power. No, they came to submit themselves, to humble themselves, and worship him. They knew he was worth worshiping. They didn't come to worship King Herod. He was the king at the time. He was the one ruling over that portion of the region of Israel. They didn't come to worship him. They came to worship the King of the Jews. We see that they joyfully sacrificed their time and resources to go to Jesus. In verse 10, it says, when they saw a star, it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They joyfully sacrificed their time. It took them perhaps close to 2 years to reach Bethlehem, to find Jesus. They weren't there at the manger. That's what our culture often, how they often picture it. They weren't at the manger. They came to the house. Luke chapter 2, later in the chapter, reveals this. Matthew chapter 2 shows us this. Jesus was nearly 2 years old, but they had given up their time, almost 2 years, to make this journey. Persistent, dedicated. How long has it been? 6 months, 10 months, 12 months. We're going to keep going. We're not there yet. Let's keep following this star. We're not going to give up. They were committed to come and worship him. And it says when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They didn't say, oh, finally, our job is done. Let's get this over with and go home. They were joyful to come and worship the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. This is the kind of person that God uses. They were faithful. They worshipped him devotedly. It says they fell down and worshipped him. And then they opened their gifts. They worshipped him sacrificially. You know, sometimes it's hard to worship God with our checkbook. But we can worship God with our finances. We ought to worship God with our finances. They worshipped God with very rich gifts. It's hard sometimes to worship God with our time. To worship God with our body. It's okay to kneel when we pray. It's okay to submit ourselves in our physical body. They fell down and worshiped him. It's hard to worship God in these ways, but they did it. They did it joyfully. And they obeyed God instead of men. Because Herod says, when you find him, come back and tell me where he is. I want to worship him too, but Herod was lying. He wanted to preserve his own throne, and he wanted to kill that baby. And he tried. But it says these wise men were warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. And so they didn't. They didn't listen to a powerful king who had soldiers that could threaten their lives. They listened to God and put God first. God uses this kind of person. They humbly came to worship the Lord. They sacrificed much time and much wealth to see him. They believed what the scriptures said about this king of the Jews. And they obeyed God instead of the earthly king. That's the kind of person God uses. God chose Mary and Joseph, who knew God as their Savior. That was just clear. Maybe the shepherds did too. Maybe the wise men knew God as their Savior. We're not told explicitly, but we know Mary and Joseph did. Mary and Joseph knew and humbly followed God's law. They had given their lives to him. When he spoke, they trusted and obeyed. That's the kind of person that God chooses. The shepherds and wise men also believed the word of God that they had received. They set aside their personal lives. The shepherds left their sheep. The wise men left whatever lives, whatever businesses they had to make this journey to Bethlehem. They set aside their personal lives to obey and pursue God's revealed truth to them. They humbled themselves and put God first. And they lifted God up in praise and not themselves up in pride. Do you want to be used by God? Well, it starts by believing his word. Have you been saved? That's the first step. The word of God tells us how sinners can be saved. And yet many don't want to believe it. Many don't want to submit to it. But God uses people who do. God is still calling sinners to meet his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherds met him in the manger. Wise men met him in the house. When did you meet him? If you haven't, you can, you may, even tonight, then you too may be used by God for great things. God is still looking for people like Mary, like Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. Because he wants to use people. He wants to use you in his work. He wants to use me for his wonderful work. Being used by God is the greatest privilege that we can have. The Bible shows us how it's possible. May that be our heart's desire, that we can come to him, be saved, and be used by him. It's a great way to live life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example